Okay, good morning. In Japan, they'd say Ohayo gozaimasu. Let's try that. Ohayo gozaimasu. Very good. You can all go to a Japanese worship service now. Before I begin my sermon, I'd like to thank you for being our supporting church. Without your support, Toshi and I could not be doing the work we are doing in Japan. Your prayers and your support are like wind beneath our wings, which sustains us throughout our ministry. And for that, I'd like to thank you. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for your love for us. We pray that we would remember to love with all our hearts, with all our souls, and with all our strength, and all that is within us. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable unto you, O God, our strength and redeemer. Amen. This morning, I want to talk with you about three very important aspects of Christianity. Now, what are they? Look at your bulletin. Look at the sermon title. So the first one is love. The second one, love. The third one, love. Very good. I don't have to preach anymore. You've got it already. Love. Now, I have been Christian all my life and was born and raised at a Methodist church in Redwood City, California, in the Bay Area. I went to seminary at Pacific School of Religion, where Pastor April also went to school. I worked as a youth minister in San Jose at a Japanese American church in Japantown, and later was a pastor at Kailua United Methodist Church on Oahu, where Pastor April was. She was not on Oahu, but in Kauai, and occasionally we would see each other at district meetings. There were only four clergy women in the Methodist Church at the time that we were in Hawaii together. Now I'm in Japan and a missionary, a pastor at a church, and I've come to the conclusion that Christianity is not that complicated, but it is hard to do. The Bible tells us to love one another, but it is easier said than done. Mark Twain once said that it wasn't the parts of the Bible that he couldn't understand that gave him the most trouble. It was the parts that he could. So this morning, I will talk about love and three things. In Deuteronomy, it says we are to teach our children to bind this on our hands and put it across our foreheads, and we're to talk about it while riding in the car. Actually, it doesn't say that, but it's close. We're to talk about it while we're at home, when we're cooking, when we're at the beach, and we're to talk about this basic commandment, which is to love our Lord God. And the second one, Jesus says, is to love one another. So God says, this is not just something nice to do, just try to do it when you can. But we are to be doing this perpetually every day, and our children, and our grandchildren, our church community children are to be learning this every day and learning about God's love. If you do not have children of your own, think about the children in the community who are to be learning this. So these words in the scripture are an instruction for us all. The second thing about loving is that it's really hard to do. Right? It isn't easy. It's not always easy. If you are a human being, which most of us are, you realize that being a human is difficult. I'll give some examples. It's difficult to be a mother, although it varies on which day and which child. Not all of us are parents, but for those of us who are, it's not always easy to be a parent, is it? How many parents in the congregation? Raise your hand. It's not easy, is it? Not always. It's not always easy to be a pastor, right? Sometimes, sometimes not. It's fun. We enjoy it. We're called to do it. But it's not always easy. It's not always easy to be a missionary. It's not always easy to be a neighbor or to be a friend. Before I go on, I'd like to talk about three kinds of love in Greek. There's eros, philios, and agape. The first one, eros, is the love you have for someone because of their value, because they are pretty, or handsome. We place the value on that person. They are rich. It's love of body. And it's easy to love that person. The second love, philios, is the brethren love or sister love. Now, you don't love your mom because she's cute or pretty, but because she is your mom, unless, of course, you've had a troubled childhood. We do not always love our brother or our sister either. I come from a family of four, and when we were growing up, it wasn't easy. We love each other now. But we're a family, and we try to love one another. Filios. Now, the last one is agape. This is the opposite of the love of eros. There are no values placed on agape love, such as the person being handsome or pretty. Or the person could be poor or homeless or ugly, whatever. These are things we may not like about someone, but they do not matter to God. God loves them. God accepts them. God says to love your enemy, and that is agape love. It's hard to love those whom you do not like, or to love those whom you do not value. But Mother Teresa gave us three basic guidelines on what we can do to love. And I still remember her saying these words. And I heard her and met her very briefly years ago in Tokyo back in 1981. And this is what she said. Love people one by one. Love people one by one. Now, Mother Teresa didn't begin her ministry by winning the Nobel Peace Prize. She didn't begin her ministry by saying, I'm going to go out and start homes in every country in the world. She didn't even start out by saying, I'm going to found a home for the dying in Calcutta. She began her ministry this way. She started by walking down the street and finding one person in need. Then the next day, she found another person. Then the following day, another person. And before long, she had a lot of people she was taking care of, and a lot of people came to help her. And it started to snowball, and the nations and leaders around the world heard of her work, and she ended up with the Nobel Peace Prize. She also did not worry about being a great Christian and saving the whole world. But she said, just go to that one person who is in your life today. Could be your child. Could be your partner. Could be your neighbor. Could be the homeless person that you feed on Wednesday nights here at your church. Could be somebody here, but one at a time, one by one. Another thing Mother Teresa said that I've thought about and I'm still thinking about, she says, it is not genuine Christian love until it hurts. I had trouble at first understanding what this meant, but think about it. Jesus said it is easy for us to love the way the world loves. The world loves people who love them. It is easy to love somebody if they love you. You know, when my children were little, very little, they loved me unconditionally. When they were very little, when they were about 2 months old, they were happy if I did what they needed. I fed them, changed their diapers, held them. But Kai, my oldest son, is now 14 and a teenager. And things are different. He doesn't love me unconditionally anymore. He wants me to behave in the right way. He wants me not to tell him to turn off his computer and quit playing computer games and go to bed. Ko, my younger son, who's 8, sometimes is a bit easier because he's younger. But doesn't like it when I say, turn off that Game Boy or get out of your brother's room. Also, my boys like to fight with each other and quarrel, especially when we are traveling around visiting churches. It gives such a good impression of ministers' kids. They do not like going to two services on Sunday. They do not like having to go to church to a potluck midweek. And so they will take it out on each other by poking one another and fighting. You'll notice they're not here today, so we did give them a Sunday off. It's hard to be a PK, preacher's kid, and an MK, missionary's kid. And so they're serving double duty here. But I love them. I do not always like them, but I love them. And I tell them I love them, but it's a challenge. A lot of times, loving people is painful because they do not love you back, or they reject you, or they treat you poorly, or they misunderstand you, or they are just plain human people. But Mother Teresa says to keep on loving them. Jesus gave us a new commandment in John 13 when he said, "Here is a new commandment I give you, to love one another as I have loved you." He does not say anymore to love your neighbor as yourself, as found in the Leviticus passage. Love your neighbor as yourself, because what if you do not love yourself? What if you hate yourself? You hate your neighbor. He says to love one another as I have loved you. And Jesus loved us until it hurt. He never stopped loving us. Something else Mother Teresa once said was, true love is difficult, true love is painful, and true love is a sacrifice. Now, sacrifice is not popular, especially in modern Western culture. It is too demanding of one's life, energy, one's time, and sometimes money. Yet in all our lives, we may have experienced acts of selfless sacrifice, which have helped to restore our souls. There may have been times when we have sacrificed something precious to us so that someone else can find meaning or healing in his or her life. Sacrificial love was shown on the cross, where God in Christ, because of God's love for humankind, gave up Jesus Christ as a sacrifice so that death and sin may never have a hold over us. The third thing that Mother Teresa said was, it is not so much what you do, but how much love you put into it that matters. A lot of times we may want to do big things, but she says it's not big things, but it's the little things. For me, I think it might be that the little things can grow into big things at different points in one's faith journey. And that is why we are part of a church, or we donate to organizations like UMCOR, or we sign a petition to get change in our community or in our government or our world. A little thing, but it makes an impact. So maybe helping someone just a little, maybe starting out by doing something small, going into the kitchen to help your partner, calling on a new person in your street, feeding the homeless here at this church on Wednesday nights. Or I noticed your church in the newsletter assembled 35 hygienic kits for disaster relief. These are small things. It could also be just holding someone's hand when they are in need. God may or may not call you to do more things. God has called me to be a missionary, and God may call you to be a missionary in your own community by helping others one by one. Christians in Japan are about 1% of the total population. They're a small group, a minority, and they have to help each other and work together with not only other denominations, but also with other faiths. My husband and I work at the National Christian Council in Japan, which is like your National Council of Churches here in the USA. The National Christian Council of Japan is made up of 6 different member churches, 33 organizations and churches altogether, but 6 main member churches: the Lutheran Church, the Anglican Episcopal Church, Baptist Convention, the Baptist Union, the Korean Christian Church in Japan, and last, the Kyodan, the United Church of Christ in Japan. And the United Methodists are part of the Kyodan. So there's not a United Methodist Church in Japan. It's the United Church of Christ in Japan. Also, the YMCA, the YWCA, Fellowship of Reconciliation, they are all members of the National Christian Council in Japan. I helped to put out a newsletter which talks about some of the Christian social issues going on, and I'll leave this in your church office for you to look at later. My husband's the general secretary. I put out this newsletter. And we try to, as a small group, make an impact on Japanese society. And we can't do this alone. But Christians work together. And I find that the Christians in Japan, although small in numbers, their impact on society is greater than their numbers. For example, in the peace movement, we work with an interfaith peace network. Also in women's rights, in education, many schools were started by Christians. In the area of human rights, and human rights for the foreign migrant workers who live in Japan. There are foreign migrant workers from Africa, from Latin America, and from all over Asia who are coming to Japan to find employment. And many do not have the basic rights that the Japanese have, so we also work trying to help them. For the disabled, for others who are oppressed or on the periphery of society, the Christians in Japan have been successful in working together with not only the other Christians in Japan, but with other Christians in Asia. One area is also in the peace constitution. Japan has been very concerned since it's 60 years after World War II in staying a nation that does not have a military and that has not been in a war. So this is something that has been of a concern to many of the Christians as we all work together for peace in our world. Another issue related to what the Christians are doing is the issue of homeless. I have a friend in Japan who lived for 18 months among the homeless in his own cardboard box to find out more what life was like for the homeless. And he started out by giving a few cans of food to the people that had their tarps and cardboard boxes next to him. And then he started collecting food from restaurants and other agencies. And now, as of 3 years ago, he has formed Food Bank Japan, and the name was recently changed to Second Harvest Japan. My husband Toshi and I serve on the board. In Tokyo alone, 6,000 metric tons of food is thrown away each day. So Second Harvest Japan collects food to give to anyone in need, not only the homeless, but the elderly, single parents, to the foreign migrant workers working in Japan. My church, also like your church, feeds the homeless, but we do it on Saturday. It's estimated that there are 45,000 to 50,000 homeless in Japan, and we feed about 300 to 500 each Saturday. We provide rice balls, peanuts, fruit, and soup. We give out clothes, we gather socks, we get sleeping bags when it's winter. Winter in Japan is pretty cold. And we give out public bath tickets. They cost about $3.50 each. And these are very much appreciated by the homeless so that they can have a clean bath. And Japanese baths are wonderful if you've ever been to Japan. We used to give out the bath tickets to the homeless person who had a birthday in that particular month. Birthdays would get bath tickets in April. May birthdays would get bath tickets in May. And some of the homeless actually had identification to show us to say, yes, this is my birthday this month. But others, we'd have to take their word. Then we found out the homeless were having, some of them were having birthdays every 3-4 months. So we had to find a new system. Now we collect enough money to give tickets all down the line. Anyway, it works. And if you ever come to Japan, I will take you to where we do the feeding. There are a number of places that our church takes this area and a place in downtown called Shinjuku. So these are small examples of a way to make a change, a way to be in mission. In your church, I've read that you do medical work for the homeless, acupressure, some counseling. These are ways that you have been helping. And you also provide a church home for those that choose to come here. Mission can be done anywhere. It can be done here in San Diego. It can be done anywhere in the world. Anywhere we can share the love of Christ through helping one another. Another act that where you've helped one another one by one, I've noticed, is that Robin and Holly said that they helped Ben get at camp. I read this in your August newsletter. Again, an example. And you're Ben, right? So they helped you. Was it a good experience? Good. So it's an example of somebody helping one by one, just helping another person. I'd like to close now with a story that a Japanese-American friend of mine, and he's a Sansei Anglican missionary in Japan. His name is Joe Ozawa. And he told me this story, and then he later wrote it down for a small book that he published in Singapore. It's called Chigatta Tenshi, The Strange Angel. I won't teach you the characters for it. Chigatta Tenshi, The Strange Angel. Here's how it goes. Joe was walking down the street, and he saw a homeless man, and the man was sitting on a bench, so Joe decided to sit next to him. The man wasn't very clean, and he looked depressed. Joe sat next to him for a little while, and then they started to strike up a conversation. The man said that he'd been a bus driver, but had lost his job. His wife had divorced him, and he hasn't seen his kid for years. He'd also been on the street for a number of years as well. He had his arm in a sling, and it looked like he couldn't use it. So Joe talked to him and talked to him a little bit about what he does, said that he's a missionary. And the man opened up a bit and said he'd like to know more. And then Joe said, well, could I pray for you? And the man said, well, sure, why not? So Joe put his arm around him and prayed. He prayed that the arm's man be healed. And I don't know if it was completely healed or not, but the man said it felt much better, and he was pretty happy about that. He said, hey, it's feeling better. You know, I can move it a bit. And Joe said, well, let me keep praying for you. Why don't we pray that you'd stop drinking? And so he prayed for him. The man threw down his bottle and said, you know what? I'm not going to drink anymore. Now, this is a true story. This is an Anglican missionary doing this. And then the man said he didn't have any money and anywhere to stay. So Joe said, okay, I'm going to take some money out of my wallet. I'm going to give this to you. You're going to contact this pastor at a shelter I know and go there. You're going to get some clean clothes. And I know that you're not going to spend this on anything else but on shelter and new clothes. So this is something that Joe felt the Holy Spirit was telling him to do. Then Joe said goodbye and started to leave. But the man said, wait, come back here. You can't fool me. Joe said, I'm not trying to fool you. No, you cannot fool me. You are really an angel. Joe said, have you ever seen an Asian angel? The man said, no, come to think of it, the pictures I've seen on Christmas cards are angels with blonde hair. Joe said, well, that answers it. I'm not an angel. But the man said, no, you are an odd angel. A Chigatta Tenshi. I know you are an angel. Well, how do you know I'm an angel? Joe asked. Now, Joe thought the man would say it was because Joe had told him about Jesus, or because Joe had prayed for his arm and his drinking, and he felt he was healed. It was because Joe had given him some money, and that kind of impresses people. But the man said to Joe, no, I know you're an angel because you're the first person who has touched me in over 2 years. To love one person at a time, how you are called to do it, you will know. Each one of us has a different spiritual journey with God, but we all can journey together in sharing God's love with one another. This is part of what being a missionary is. Here or in whatever country you live, you follow Jesus and love one another. Love one by one. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your love for us. You loved us until you died on the cross. Thank you for the great love you put into our lives. Let us look for ways that we can touch one another. Help us to share this great love. And may we pass this great love to our children for generations to come. Help us to love one by one. Amen.